Chapter 34. Feeling restless now that he had so unwittingly spoken, she arose and stepped to the window, having heard the voices of her father and Mrs. Swankert coming up below the terrace. "Here they are," apostrophe she said, "going out." Knight walked out upon the lawn behind her. She stood upon the edge of the terrace, close to the stone balustrade, and looked towards the sun, hanging over a glade just now fair as Thames Vale, up which her father was walking. Knight could not help looking at her. The sun was within 10 degrees of the horizon, and its warm light flooded her face, and heightened the bright rose color of her cheeks to a vermilion red, their moderate pink hue being only seen in its natural tone, where the cheek curved round into shadow. The ends of her hanging hair softly dragged themselves backwards and forwards upon her shoulder as each faint breeze thrust against her relinquished it. Fringes and ribbons of her dress, moved by the same breeze, licked like tongues upon the parts around them, and fluttering forward from shady folds caught likewise their share of the lustrous orange glow. Mr. Swankert shouted out a welcome to Knight from a distance of about 30 yards, and after a few preliminary words proceeded to a conversation of deep earnestness on Knight's fine old family name, and theories as to lineage, and intermarriage connected therewith. Knight's portmanteau having in the meantime arrived, they soon retired to prepare for dinner, which had been postponed 2 hours later than the usual time of that meal. An arrival was an event in the life of Elfride, now that they were again in the country, and that of Knight necessarily an engrossing one. And that evening she went to bed for the first time without thinking of Stephen at all. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.